All right. Welcome back, guys. Day two of the THB Strength podcast.
What am I supposed to do, actually?
We should probably start with a call to action because we never do them.
This podcast is brought to you by THBStrength.com. If you would like to jump higher and get rid of knee pain, please go to THBStrength.com to get coached by the two premier vertical jump coaches on planet Earth. Coach John Evans has written Isaiah Rivera's training, who has the official world record at 50.5 inches at the approach vertical jump. And we also coach 10-plus elite pro dunkers, the only vertical jump coaching that has consistently made elite athletes even more elite. Now, when you take those methods and apply it to average or below average genetically gifted athletes, the results are outstanding.
Staggering.
With an average of 4 inches of vertical gain in 6 months and one in five athletes gaining 7 inches in 6 months, results may vary according to your genetic predisposition to jumping higher and making progress. But alas, we will help you reach your genetic potential. There is no other better option for jumping higher if you are willing to work hard, because the number one reason people hop off is because they are beep and don't like to handle hard training.
Bitches.
But if you love jumping and dunking and you like working hard and you're not scared of hard work, go to THBStrength.com, sign up for the coaching. We also provide a comprehensive vertical jump training course that is going to give you more vertical jump knowledge than even an exercise science degree. I know, because I have one, and John has a master's one. And we would have much rather have signed up for THP and just done the course there.
THP exists to basically answer all the questions that Isaiah and I had when we were kids, except better. Actually, in college. All the questions we had in college.
And
anyways, so the topic today is actually going to be, it's going to be what you would do if you had an athlete who was perfectly injury resilient, meaning they could not get hurt. And I was basically going to apply best practice within reason, right? So, like, obviously jump every day is not an option, right? But they're, like, very, very resilient and incredibly resilient. And you could apply your absolute best training knowledge to them without regard to injury outside, like, the norm, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Hello, Austin.
Hey.
Welcome. Welcome. Did you hear the prompt today?
I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
How would you train an athlete if they were perfectly injury resilient?
Not perfectly, but, like, pretty freaking injury resilient.
So how would I train Jordan Kilgannon when he was 21?
It's a fair question. All right, so I was thinking about this today, and the reason being is someone was asking me in the chat. They were like, "Well, how many sets should be lower, like the build-up sets? So if it said last two at 80%, how much of that should be, like, heavier than the last two sets?" And I was like, what do you mean? Like, the build-up sets are meant to be lighter till you get to the top sets.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, it doesn't even feel bad. My RP is like a 5 to 6, which I'm like, then you're not at 80%. If it's 5 to 6 and you're going heavier than 80% on the last two sets. So I was like, well, best case scenario, an athlete like you, I would, you know, I thought of, like, well, he's kind of like one of those guys. Like, you could push harder without consideration. And one of the things that popped in my head was VBT. Because I don't do velocity-based training with these guys as much because they're more injury-prone. Like, if I had you guys do every single rep as fast as you possibly could the last 3 weeks, every single rep.
Yeah, I would have died.
As fast as you could. What would have happened?
Death.
What's on your nose?
Boogie, probably.
No, it's up here.
What do you mean?
I don't know. You can look at yourself and figure it out. All right, so Isaiah, specifically, what issues do you think would have popped up?
Ketchup. Just ketchup.
My PFP would have gotten flared up. And honestly, I just would have been way too fatigued. I was already, like, on the brink of, I don't know, actually, I don't give up.
I think your PFP and tendons would have been obliterated.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you get through the volume doing that.
I think my knee would have been destroyed. My knee would have definitely been destroyed. Possibly hip. Possibly back. Mainly knee.
T- So you think you guys get hurt fast?
Yeah. I think I would be fine the first 2 weeks, maybe a week and a half, and then it would definitely hit us.
So, yeah, I would definitely have guys do that, though. Like, if I had a perfectly healthy athlete, I'm talking you're 15 years old, indestructible, you're not really doing jump sessions every day, you're going to train in the weight room. I would have him lifting every single rep with perfect technique as fast as he possibly could. Deadlift, stand up as quick as you can. Squat, stand up as quick as you can. Calf raise, as explosively as possible.
Yeah.
Like, every single lift, every single movement.
I mean, I think I could do it on working sets, but not on build-up sets. Like, right. My build-up sets are purely to so that I can, like, try hard.
On the top sets.
On the top sets, right. Yeah.
I think the other thing that I would do is I would add sprints every day. I would have – not every day, sorry, every other day. I would have sprints in the training, I push the volumes.
I think I can handle sprints.
You could? I would definitely do that. If the athlete had the time and they were injury resilient, I think that would benefit them. Like, I would put a proper sprint progression in for sure.
Yeah.
I just don't with these two because – time constraints, Isaiah's vertical doesn't really respond super well to it anymore, I would say. Like, it's not something we need. We could do it in really general cycles. I guess technically this cycle we could have put them in, but it would have just taken a lot of time because there's other things I'd rather do. Like, we already were training an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Yeah.
We're going to do up to three. Like, yeah. that would be ridiculous. But I would definitely do that. I would definitely add sprints in. And then I think – I think in terms of the dunking, like the dunk sessions, what would be best case scenario if you were really, really resilient? If you only cared about performance, not even dunking per se, just jump height and performance.
I mean, my sessions would be, I'd dunk for a while probably.
Like, you would just increase the time?
I'd probably be dunking for like 3 hours a session.
Okay, yeah, that's outside the realm of normalcy. Let's say that it's normal to have like, you have an hour and a half. With warm-up.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happens already, to be honest.
I think what I would do if I only cared about that is just vertec for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I would just literally be like, put the vertec up there and just see how high you can touch. If that was my only goal.
Are we bringing the vertec on Friday?
Yeah.
And then isos, I would have them do it 3 times a day for calf and knee. I'd definitely do that. What else would you add?
You could do plyos.
I would have a proper plyo progression.
Like on the same day. You could also jump and lift on the same day.
Yeah, you could jump and lift on the same day in lower volumes.
You could add probably like...
Oh, you know what else I would do? Like, because we're just talking about complexity, adding complexity. I would superset. I would superset plyos with lifting. It's just I don't because guys die. No one's really healthy enough to do it. Well, these guys definitely aren't. I'm not even really healthy enough to do that.
I'll prove him wrong one day.
I'm trying to think of what other stuff. What complex? Oh, I would do. I probably would build in. Well, you guys have gotten through the super maximal stuff pretty easily. I would have cycles though of fast eccentric work with load. So yeah. I would build them up, but I would put like 300 pounds on their back and then say drop. And stand up as fast as you can with it, or something like that.
I do feel like I would get a lot more out of plyos if I could try harder on them.
I didn't.
Because plyos is usually like just trying to get warm, and then it's like one set where I can really push hard. Yeah. I think it would be different if I could like actually push hard on every rep of plyos.
I'm trying to think of.
It might be beneficial.
I think the plyo cycle would probably have a higher frequency. Of plyos, I would probably try like 3-4 times a week, different types of plyos.
Yeah.
And they would be like more volume and then progress to less. I would potentially do that. But for a dunking athlete, maybe not for a dunking athlete.
I think I would, bro, if it was a really resilient athlete, I would have them dunk before lifting.
Like instead of sprinting?
Yeah.
I just don't think that's doable. I don't think it's possible.
If it was though.
Like a 15-year-old, 14-year-old, like, yeah. You think they could do that? Like, I think if when I was 14 or 15, I might have been able to do it.
I definitely could have when I was that young. Yeah. I didn't start getting knee pain until I was like, what, like, how old was I? 18?
I mean, I see it happen a lot with guys. I used to do it. Like, I would, like, lift, and then I'd be like, oh, I feel, like, warm. And then I'd go dunk.
And how would your knees feel the next day? Shambles? Schmatter?
Yeah, but I was, like, really low on, like, the continuum of healthiness as a high schooler. Like, I was, like, the most unhealthy person I knew.
In terms of tendon health?
Yeah.
Ankle health, stuff like that? That's actually crazy when you think about it, how injury prone you were. I was less injury prone than you. Austin, I don't know about you. Austin, get that shit.
But for me, it was literally just my knees. Like, well, just one knee. Like, the rest of my body, like, I never had any issues with muscle pulls. Like, I don't think I had shin splints really. It was just my knee. It was, like, the only injury.
I would do more really intense plyos. I would do a lot of stiffness hops with, like, very stiff legs. I would do shock loading, very short ground contact time shock loading. I probably would put overspeed sprints in there. This is stuff I just don't do. It's hyper advanced, and I don't use these stimuli because most people can't handle it. They'll just get hurt, right? Like, I don't do complexes. I don't really use VBT. I don't. You know what else I would do? I would get on the force plate, and I would have guys do ISO max time under tension reps more often. I think it just shreds the cartilage.
It's wild because it's a lot of the things that I think guys like researching or looking at on like social media and stuff, but like, I feel like athletes are always in search of like
what's newer, what's the best way to train.
Yeah, but like 90% of athletes, it's not realistic to expect that you're going to be able to do all
like
that.
Like, how do you fit that in a periodized plan outside of super low volumes? And even then, you have to probably give up something else to do it, right? Like, if I was like, oh, I want you to do more plyos, you're probably not going to be able to jump as much.
Yeah.
There's no way. Yeah. If I superset lifts like that, you're going to get hurt and you're going to be out of commission. You're not going to be able to dunk. And that's going to be worse than having this random ass superset stimulus of bounding and alternate walking lunges at high loads. Like, that's just not.
I will say, like, I think I could do that type of stuff if I wasn't dunking.
Yeah. Like, if you. But that's what I'm saying. Like,
what would happen?
And then you do that. When would you do it? You'd do it in a hyper specific phase, right? Yeah. So you're going to pull out the thing that's the most specific and most important for you to do.
Yeah.
To do something that's less
specific. A little less specific, yeah.
That's a little less specific and may or may not work, but it's very complex, advanced training.
Yeah.
Like, just because it's the more advanced.
Hey, it'll get views, though.
It will get views. Simple is always going to get less views. But yeah, that's pretty much all I have. I think that's the only things I would add, right? You can't think of anything else advanced. Maybe K-Box.
I was thinking this the other day. I think it would be cool to, like, try research on me. Like, pull out dunking. And then, like, test my vertical, articles. Test my, like, standing vert, try something for a cycle, and then retest. Yeah. I really, specifically, like, the depth jump stuff, like, I was like, damn, I would have tested how high I can jump on the lower boxes.
Oh, yeah.
And then
seen,
because we know I can get at or close to my standing vertical from a 60.
Well, the thing is, you could probably just take one weekend and do that.
Yeah.
Like, one jump session and do it. If you really wanted to know. Because you're a one-of-one athlete. Like, no one has a 50.5-inch vertical on a stack.
That's why I want to test. Like,
you want to know what happens with the super elite.
With just random, like, things I see in research. Because, like, I was looking at a lot of research, and it's always so flawed. And, like I was looking at one research study where they measured depth jumps and, like, their effect on athletes' verticals. But it was, like, 20 of them were, like, female athletes. The other 20 were, like, college basketball players. The average verticals probably like vary 30? Wildly, you know what
between
I mean?
Between 18 inches and 32 inches.
And at that point is like, we've said this before, like a lot of athletes a lot of people will think of like NBA players as like the upper echelon of athleticism, but they're really not that, when you compare to how athletic you could be, like if you took an NBA player, right? Let's say you took, what's an average athleticism NBA player? Like let's say,
8-inch vertical?
But that's considered a good dunker.
Probably 40.
Oh, like an athlete? Like
yeah.
Anthony Edwards.
All right, take Anthony Edwards, right?
Yeah.
Crazy athleticism. Seen as upper echelon of athlete. But what if he would have trained as a pro dunker? How high could he jump?
Way
like
higher than now.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I think. Like, with the NBA, it's like you're not seeing – with people like that, you could do a study. Someone that's relatively untrained with good training as far as vertical, they might improve, like, their vertical from doing subpar. Like, I don't know. You just can't really, like
– The other thing, too, is, like, yeah, it's like – untrained versus well-trained. I mean, they're well-trained in the sense of a lot of elastic contacts.
Yeah.
But in the weight room, they're pathetic. I mean, abysmal.
Yeah.
And if I brought you into the weight room with those guys on a lift like Wednesday, and I said, try to keep up.
Yeah.
They get fucked up. They would get destroyed.
Yeah.
And what, he's 6'4", 6'5"?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he's that tall where I'd be like, oh, it's your limb length, that's why. And he moves well. I think he would get destroyed by you. And that's a testament to the fact that, like, he's so genetically freaky, but he's so untrained in the weight room.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe he's done. Even plyos, there's no way he can alternate leg bound well. I promise you, compared to a triple jumper, he does not alternate leg.
He would actually be a good. The thing is, though, is like, I feel like those athletes aren't really looked at in those studies because they're probably playing professionally. Like, I think the ideal scenario is you get someone that's really athletic, relatively untrained. It's like, all right, what happens if he does up jumps at this height? Does his vertical change at all?
Like the VCU kid.
Yeah, don't play basketball like to take like basketball.
What's
away,
the VCU
like,
kid's name?
He's nuts though.
Yeah, I forgot. I don't know his name.
But him. He'd be perfect. Mm-hmm. He's relatively untrained, jumps super high. What would happen if you do some depth jumps?
But when you look at like studies, it's like it's not elite athletes at all.
And that's what a lot of coaches, that's usually their dig. But
yeah.
I feel like that's a good place to stop. These guys are going to get training. And yeah, go to teachbestrength.com if you're really serious about improving your vertical. Right now, the service is wildly underpriced for the value that you get from it. Having access to the two top jumps coaches in the world are arguably, but I would say yes, we are. We can do in-season for volleyball and basketball, and we can also do, obviously, out-of-season for you. And then if you just want to dunk and jump higher, you know where to go. If you're injured, you know where to go. PFP, Condor Malacia, ACL, MCL, LCL, PCL injury that you're returning from, Achilles, hamstring tendinopathy, patellotendinopathy, quad tendinopathy, back pain, shoulder pain. Shoulder pain, I'd say, is like, we can do it, but it's not our expertise. Anything else I forgot? Muscle pulls, you know where to go. Thanks for watching, guys. See you tomorrow.
I guess the argument for the research studies, though, is most athletes are not genetically gifted.
Are you sure you don't want to keep recording?
Like, most athletes aren't genetically gifted, so it's like...